In this episode of Bear Podcast,
hookups, do's and don'ts,
Netflix renews Sense8,
Craigslist tricks gets robbed in Houston,
Google is now Alphabet,
and the Montana Testicle Festival.
All these and more. Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast, episode 578. Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Yes, welcome to episode 578, and it's a Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. So, it's been, what do you call this? Well, it's been a week now, you know, since our last show, which is the 10th anniversary. And we got some voicemails.
We got some voicemails.
And some people who emailed, so that's awesome. Last week, we did play Devin's, right? So.
Yes, we played that okay. Last week.
Anyway, okay, we have some more today. Welcome, guys. I guess we're starting another 10 years. I don't know. We don't know. There's some, we're thinking of things in the future, but yeah, we'll let you know.
We'll start a crowdfunder for a new Bear Podcast Studios.
Right. Speaking of such, by the way, I just released a video of my interview with Doug Langway. He's doing a Bear City 3. So there's an Indiegogo page for that. So go to bearcity3.com so you could check him out. And actually, I still haven't posted the video yet, but it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube only, my interview with Doug Langway when we were in Provincetown last month. So watch out for that. I'll put links on the website for you guys to check out. And probably stream it as a podcast also. So watch out for it, okay? All right, let's do some...
And speaking of that, we have a new feature on the webpage.
Oh, that's right. Guys, we've been doing this for 10 years. we kind of think of having some, like a tip jar. It's not like, you know...
Just a tip.
It's like a tip jar. People can donate. So there's a PayPal link on bearpodcast.com in the upper right. If you click on it, and then you'll be able to donate whatever. Any amount would be fine. Like if you want to treat us out to a cup of coffee, right?
Right.
Like a cup of coffee or our lunch for the day.
Yeah.
That would be great. That'd be good.
Because Maynard's paid for all this whole 10 years. So.
Well, I've been stretching these equipment for many years. Yeah. Like this microphone. This microphone has been with me since 2006. I've been using this since 2006.
That's right. So. And he wants the diamond encrusted in gold one now. So.
That's right. And I got that microphone has been around also for about 3 or 4 years now. So we really don't have new equipment here. So okay, so that's just...
So every bit helps.
Yes, every bit helps.
We'll still do the show, but it'd be nice if we do it with some new equipment.
Okay, so how about some weekend update, Ray?
Well, I guess I got one big announcement.
Oh, yes, that's right. One big announcement. Okay.
And I'm kind of going to say this, and then that's going to be the end of the story for me talking about it on the show. But last week, Robbie and I decided to end our relationship as partners. And move on with our lives separately. We're going to try to be friends, which I think is kind of what our relationship had worked into anyhow. So for all the people that saw the post on Facebook and showed me support, messaged me and stuff, I appreciate it. But maybe, you know, who knows? Life's always about change and rolling with the punches and working everything out. So that's my big announcement.
Yeah, so... So you're single now.
I am. Yes, I'm officially single and emotionally distraught right now.
Okay.
So all the ex tricks, give me a couple months before you start hitting me up. Because I got a couple hit ups this week. And I was like, dude.
Too soon. Okay.
But I do notice that when you break up with somebody, all your friends are like, so who are you going to go out and fuck? You can just fuck anybody you want to now. All the friends in relationships say this, I've noticed.
God.
And I'm just like, nobody. That is the least thing on my mind right now is sex. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes, there's priorities right now. Which is
That's
good.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's all about the healing.
The healing process.
The growing.
I think you need to do yoga again.
I think we will probably get back into yoga again because I'm in the hole trying to lose weight and stuff. So
that means we can do the podcast on Monday and go to yoga on Tuesdays. Ah, there you go. We can change the schedule up or something.
And maybe when they get nude yoga.
No, you're brave enough to do the nude yoga.
Well,
now,
no, okay. We got to get the regular yoga and lose some weight so we can feel pretty naked.
This is pretty. So. Okay, so yeah, so Ray, I'm thinking of you right now that you are going through this phase. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How about some weekend updates, Ray?
Weekend updates. Other than watching the Water Diviner this week on demand, which was pretty interesting little movie. It's Russell Crowe's directorial debut. I probably wouldn't have went and saw it in the movie theater just because I wasn't a big Russell Crowe fan, but because Robbie rented it the other night on pay-per-view and we watched it together, it was quite an interesting little movie. It's set right after World War I, and Russell Crowe's from Australia, is Australian farmer, and his three sons go off to fight at the Battle of Gallipoli.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the movie picks up because the short of it is he loses all three of his sons.
Oh.
And his wife dies, and her last request is that she brings his sons home to bury them. So it's all about his trek going to find his son. So
that's horrible.
And it's the way the movie happens, and I think it's based off of a book, but I like the storyline. I like what happened. It had Jack Courtney in it, which was even better. With a mustache.
The mustache.
With the mustache. And he didn't shave his chest, so he had a hairy chest. So it was all nice.
Okay.
So it was a very good movie. I liked it a lot. So I say check it out if you get a chance. So
I love hairy chests. Okay.
So that was my weekend pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Mike was here in the weekend. There's so many things I could talk about this weekend. Because when Mike was here, it's a date weekend because our anniversary was last week. Was it last week? Yeah, July 27th. So we weren't able to celebrate because he was in New Orleans and I had to wait until we get together. So we ate at a Thai restaurant and everything. So that was good. And then what we did the whole weekend, we just kept watching movies. So we got to watch Amy. Amy is the documentary about Amy Winehouse.
And you said it's worth going to see?
It's worth seeing. You know, it's a documentary. So you don't have these flashy 3D stuff. Or it's not Michael Bay or anything. But the story is really good.
So no Transformers?
No, it's no Transformers. But it's a documentary showing how Amy Winehouse rose to fame and how she also fell and how people mistreated her, used her, even her father. And there was one time then she really quit. She really didn't want to. So she was in Belgrade. Is that right? Belgrade. It's a city, right? Everybody was there, thousands, hundreds and thousands, but I don't know how many. So many people. She was on stage, but she did not sing. She just did not sing. She was there on the stage. I don't want to sing. She was all smashed up because she was so drunk, and she doesn't want to sing. And the band was there watching her, so hugging her and everything. And everybody's asking her, why won't you sing? You know, she just quit. She just quit. Doesn't want to sing anymore. And I don't know, at some point, yeah. And then part of the documentary is when they announced her death and everything. So that was really sad. So it's a good movie. It's a good documentary. So Mike was kind of teary-eyed. And then on the other side of the theater, everybody left already because it's credits and everything. So on the far end of the theater, there was this old lady. She was bawling. She was crying. And then, woo-hoo! She was really loud because she was really distraught. She really did not like what happened to Amy Winehouse, and she was just crying. So Mike came up to her saying that, don't worry, you're not the only one who's crying here. So my kind of consoled her because, you know, Mike was also crying. To tell you honestly, I did not listen to Amy Winehouse too much, but it was introduced to me actually by a friend of mine. If you guys are listening to the end of the show, when you hear Wolf What a Bear podcast your ass, that's my friend Jeff. You know, you remember that in the end of the show, there's always this clip. So he was the one who told me about Amy Winehouse way before then. This was around probably a year before Amy Winehouse died. So I got to listen to Amy Winehouse a little bit, and it's really good. And it's not my type of music really, but I could really tell that she's really talented, and her voice is unique, and it's really good. I mean, what can I say? When you hear Amy Winehouse on the radio or
she has that unique voice and style and everything.
And so. Style, yeah.
I liked her music. I mean, Robbie listened to her a lot at the house because we play music a lot. Mm-hmm. And Rapsy's a new best friend. Just sitting there listening to her albums and music and stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. So we watched that, and then Mike and I decided to watch Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. So that was fun. Have you seen it, right?
No, I've not seen it. I'm not a Scientologist, so I've kind of stayed away from it.
Oh, really? You mean you have that aversion to Scientology that you don't even want to watch?
I've watched the documentary. Well, let's put it this way. I've seen bits and pieces of the documentary on Scientology. That's some fucked up shit. So no, I don't want anything to do with Tom Cruise.
Oh, really? Okay.
Look what happened to Holmes once she left him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how pretty she was before, and then after she left him, she's all.
Really? Like, uh-uh. Oh, probably that's
I ain't got time for no Scientology.
Oh, okay. But anyway, Mike enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, so that was fun. And then Mike got me to watch Foxcatcher. And that was an excellent movie because of the way Steve Carell, of all people, is that right? Steve Carell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job being John DuPont. I think that's the name. It's based on a true story. Yeah. And
but did you see Channing Tatum naked?
I saw his butt in the show, in the movie. So that was good, I guess. Not my type, but yeah, I did.
All my type.
So yeah, you should watch it. Right, you can watch it on my machine too. Yeah. Anyway, so we did that. And it really struck
because the whole movie's about DuPont supposedly being a closeted gay and supporting the U.S. Olympic wrestling team, right?
Not really. It's not really about him being gay. They did not portray that in the show, but maybe he was. But then you know he's a rich kid and everything, and he was trying to be that coach, and he liked to think that he was a good coach, and he wasn't really. So anyway, because he was the supporter, financier, and everything.
But wasn't there something? Didn't he do something? Didn't he kill one of the wrestlers or something?
Yeah, you just spoiled it.
Well, no, it's a well-known story, right? It's based on a true story.
That's right. So. Well, I didn't know. I'll be honest. I didn't follow that story, so I didn't know about that. Tragic incident. So I was shocked. It had the same not the same shock, but it was like the feeling of knowing Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. We said, Luke, I'm your father. I went, what? Really? So in this time, and I was shocked also that oh my god, it turned out this way. I mean, everything was okay. I was thinking it's going to be like a Hollywood ending story, but it wasn't. It's really sad. I didn't know the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really sad, but it's good. It's a good movie because Steve Carell really nailed it. He's really a good actor. Going away from this
comedian,
this asshole guy in The Office and doing all these comedy things.
That's the reason I never watched it because I've never been a big Steve Carell fan. He's about on the same level as Jim Carrey and what's his name? Ron Burgundy.
Oh, Will Ferrell.
Yeah, whatever his name is. I ain't got time for all that craziness.
But for one thing, he did not look like he was Steve Carell. You know, he had some kind of a nose job, you know, prosthetic. So he looked really different. But then he's very serious. He was not kidding at all. I think he nailed it. I think he nailed it. He was a good actor. All right. Let's go do, that's a weekend update. So let's go do some topics.
Okay. All right. Our topic this week is later on in the Gay Geek Bazaar, we talk about somebody that had got robbed while they were hooking up on Craigslist. So from that, I pulled our topics in, which is the hookups, do's, and don'ts, which is brought to us by the MontroseCenter.org, which is one of the gay organizations here in Houston. So here's what they say. They gave this whole big blurb about it, but I've narrowed it down to the hot points here. So if you're hooking up with somebody on Craigslist, Maynard.
It's from Montrose Center?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. It's from here?
Yeah.
Really? They have hookup tips?
Well, yeah. Most gay counseling centers have stuff like that because it happens a lot.
Oh, okay. So, it's good to know.
And I don't know what's going on, but here in Houston, just before we talk about this, lately there seems to be a lot of robbery in the gayborhood. Or people being held up at gunpoint, going back and forth from the bars, cars getting broke into. It's like a daily thing almost anymore, it seems like.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I'm getting scared myself just going downtown just to go to the bar.
And I wonder sometimes if it's people doing it just to make you say you have to pay to park in the parking, paid parking. Mm. So I don't know. But anyway, it's just kind of, it's in certain places getting scary. And I think it's getting scary there because it's getting super gentrified now. And they know people go to there and get drunk and they're easy to take advantage of. So anyway, so wherever you're at, be careful. But here's a good thing about any hookup site, whether it's Craigslist, Grindr, and stuff, because those are getting dangerous too. Tinder, there's all kind of Tinder cases out there, especially for women about men trying to rape them and stuff. So, So here's their quote. Here's some suggestions they have. If you're going back to their place, follow him or her in your car. Well, first they're saying is go meet them out somewhere. Don't just have them come to your house.
Yes.
Or just go to their house because it's getting too dangerous to do that. So, and then it turns and says, if you're going back to their place, follow him or her in your car. Always make note of the route you took to get there. Having a pad of paper and pencil in your car helps. Not being shit-faced drunk also helps. Or strung out on something.
Yeah. I have some ideas for that one. You're making note of their license plate and everything?
Yeah, I'm going to read that whole part, and you can do the second part. They come back to your house.
Okay.
So, make note of the make and model license plates of their car. Mm-hmm. So, that way you got that written down.
Yeah. Somewhere. So, that's when, right now, you have cell phones. You can probably take a picture if you can. I don't know if you can sneak in a picture. But, what's good about it? If you're going to hook up like that and take a picture of something, or if you do take note of the license plate and make a model of the car, the color and everything, if you need to have a wingman, I think this is me now talking, you need to have a wingman, you need to have a friend who, hey, I'm going to hook up with someone. This is information, right?
Yeah.
If you took a picture of the license plate, you send it to your friend. So, okay, wish me luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the guy's information. This is the car that I'm riding on. This is the route. This is the address and everything. Okay. Okay.
Because you might get more than just your free call.
Yeah, that's right. So, today's technology
and it's sad can do that. It's sad that we have to do this at this day and time. And I've always wondered, I swore one time I hooked up with a trick.
Yeah.
And they stole money from me.
They stole money from you?
I think so. I don't know. It's like one of those things that I can't remember if I did that or I'd spent the money on something I'd forgot what I'd spent it on, but I had cash in my wallet. And then like the next morning I got up and I was like, I went to go do something. I didn't have any cash. And I was like, did they take the money out of my wallet?
Yeah.
Or did I just spend it somewhere and forget about it? So anyway, like Maynard said, call someone when you arrive and give him or her the address of where you are and leave it on your answering machine.
There you go.
So if you don't have a friend, call your voicemail. Well, if you got your cell phone with it, it could be, but I guess the police could go back into your phone if you want to. But let somebody know where you are. And most of us have close enough friends that they're okay doing that for us. So if you're running around with your partner, at least go do that. So if something happens, somebody can help. Get the information to your partner so they can come identify your body or whatever. So, leave your valuables in your car. Do not take in your wallet, rings, etc. Mm-hmm. Once inside the home, look around. Make note of the exits. Always place yourself between the person and the exits, if possible. So if they invite you in, always keep your back to the door and your front toward them and them closer to the inside of the house.
Okay.
So.
What if it's a dungeon and you're tied up?
Well, that's a whole other different thing. That's probably something you should be met a couple of times before that runs and goes out of
any house. You don't just don't do that. Okay.
Do not eat any food or drink. This is a good one because I didn't think about this one. But Bill Cosby fixed this one for everybody. Do not eat any food or drink anything while you're at their place. You will no longer be in control if they slip something into your food or drink.
That's right. Don't consume anything.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
So, pay attention to whether or not the deadbolt is locked by a key or turn of the lock. If by key, pay attention to where the key is.
Oh, okay, so when you
when you're locked in, you can get out. You know, and a lot of houses, because they have glass doors, have those keyed locks. So that's something always to watch for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now, if you're going back to your place, Maynard, what should you do?
Prior to having him over, remove all valuables from plain sight. Do not leave watches, jewelry, money, and or expensive items lying around.
I give this if you invite most of your friends over or have pool parties, because those bitches will steal from you.
It's possible, yes. Mm-hmm. That happens before.
We know some of our friends.
Yeah. Have him or her follow you in their car. So, yeah, they drive separately, pretty much. Next is make note of the make and model of the license plate of their car.
Okay. Yeah. And the whole thing about following the car, because I went and picked trick dust before because I ain't got automobile. Well, when you bring them back and it don't work out so well and you just want to get them the fuck out of there, it's a pain in the ass because then you have to take them home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the deal. Yeah. If you're going to trick with someone, make sure he's got a car.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you arrive, ask him or her to leave unnecessary items in the car. If they bring a duffel bag, ask to see inside before you let them enter your home. Could be a gun.
That's right.
It could be
ropes and chains.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. That's a different scenario.
Okay, so another one is do not deadbolt yourself inside. Yeah, good idea. Because if you need to escape somehow, yeah. Next is, again, do not eat any food or drink while they're at your place. Somehow they could slip in something.
That's right.
So that means if you're going to trick like that, just do your business. Just do it.
Yeah.
No eating, no drinking. Or maybe bring your own. Not even. See, not even bring your own. So have a telephone in plain sight and make sure it is fully charged.
That's right, because you asked me bitching, texting at the club all night, burning the battery up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can try to get your trick on and call 911. Beep, beep. Battery dead.
Yep. Last one is be aware of your exits. Yeah. How would you forget how you get out from your house?
If something happens.
Like a heat of the moment.
And fear kicks in. You get kind of irrational and you get scared and you're like scared mode kicks in. And if you're not aware where stuff is, you can get turned around easy in somebody's house.
Oh, it's in your house at this point.
In your house. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So even if you think you're safer in a public place, you still may be victimized. If you do choose to have sex in a public place, try not to isolate yourself with your sex partner so far away from others that you cannot call for help if needed. That's kind of awkward, though, because if you need to call for help, you're naked or your pants.
Well, some people go out and hook up in parks and, you know, rest stops and stuff like that.
So make sure your friend is nearby.
Yeah. Make sure they're tricking on the other side of the rest stop.
Okay. Tell your friend where you are going and how long you plan to be gone. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Yeah. Even if you don't tell the friend what you will be doing. Okay. So I did ask you earlier about trick. Define a trick.
A trick is somebody I'm just picking up to have sex with.
Okay. So, according to Urban Dictionary?
Somebody that you pay for sex.
Yes. It's actually...
I think that's the original term of trick.
Just the original term.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was telling a friend of mine, he said...
What was the original term of bae?
Bae?
Yeah.
What is that?
Like, you know, everybody keeps saying, oh, look at my bae. Me and Bay are out.
Baby?
No.
What's Bay?
Taking a shit or something like that, I think.
Oh, okay.
Google it. BEA, I think, or BAE, however you spell it.
Define BAE. Bay? For anyone else. I don't know. How do you spell it? I don't know. V.
No, Bay.
B A Y.
No, Bay. B A E. Try B A E.
I just did.
B E A.
B.
I can't spell good.
It's a former lady name that's cute. Again, as V is a version that like B can work as diminutive for any name starts. What does Bay mean?
Originally mean
the slang acronym, internet slang, a list of. Okay, this could be, short for baby.
No, that's not it.
Anyway, so yeah, because a friend of mine was telling me.
We digress.
Yeah, we digress. So a friend of mine was telling me about trick. You know what, then he said, you know what a trick means? It's somebody you pay to have sex with. Really? Okay. And then I told him it's different from the gay world, I guess. A trick is someone you just pick up.
Well, it's like John's, tricks, hustlers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all different names for the same thing.
But you don't necessarily pay them.
No. Well, you sell a piece of your soul, but to the devil, but...
Okay. You know. All right, it's interesting. That's an interesting article,
and
right?
And here's the big thing. You have the right to give and get consent for any legal behavior without being harmed. If someone attacks or robs you, you are the victim survivor. We hope that by opening the conversation up about hookups that we empower our community to ask for help, feel unashamed about the adult choices they are making, and ultimately lower the risk of being victims of violence. And a lot of times, guys hook up with tricks, and then they decide they don't want to go far, but end up progressing into rape. And most guys won't report rape, male-on-male rape, because they're scared because they think they asked for it.
Oh. Yeah.
Because they're gay and they get drunk and then they got back home and said no. And then the guy raped them. And because the intent was there originally, then they think that this is their fault. And it's not. Mm-hmm. No means no.
Even for gay guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to our entertainment, Ray.
Okay. Here's my big excited one I'm so excited about.
Because I'm excited about this too.
Definitely. Sense 8, Season 2. Netflix renews Sense 8 for a second season. Yay! Mm-hmm. Netflix has renewed Sense 8 for a second season, according to the Sense 8 and Netflix US Twitter account. The series was renewed on the Sense 8's birthday, August 8th, because they're remembering the show. They're all buried on August 8th, if you haven't seen it.
The news
was announced in this birthday tribute from all the cast members wishing each other a happy birthday. In the middle of a video, Donna Bay, who plays Sun in the series, breaks the good news.
Oh, so this was her.
We're up for season 2. So, and that's brought to you by the Wachowskis. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on, we have Lady Gaga is going to be in a character. She's going to be a character in the American Horror Story. So it's about, this time it's about hotels, because before it was witches, the coven, and circus and stuff like that. This time, it's a hotel. So American Horror Story, hotel. So Lady Gaga's character is going to be there. And she won't be playing the famed monster as revealed during the week's Television Critics Association press tour. Gaga's character sounds an awful lot like Gaga herself. I guess that's stereotyping her now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like a person who is complete with an obsession with stylized art and fashion. Her character's name is Elizabeth, said the creator of American Horror Story, Ryan Murphy. She owns the hotel. Oh, she's going to be a major character.
Yeah.
So she owns the hotel.
She's replacing the Jester Lang character.
Oh, really?
In this. Okay. Season.
So, she owns the hotel, and she's sort of the wealthy social doyen, is that what I'm saying? Who is consumed with art and fashion and people who she has a nefarious plan that is revealed in the first episode and plays out over the course of the season. So she starts shooting on Monday. Okay. So, yeah, it's interesting that she's going to be the a major character in a TV show. And
it premieres on October 6th on FX.
Oh, okay.
So that's getting close. Mm-hmm. Getting close. So.
Okay, how about some interesting story about porn?
Okay. Pornhub launches Netflix for Porn. Tired of suffering through annoying ads and low-quality videos when you're trying to get off? Now you don't have to. XX site Pornhub just launched a new premium service that gives you access to high-quality HD videos with no ads and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else for $9.99 a month. dubbed Netflix for Porn, the new subscription service offers exclusive, full-length, high-def videos from porn sites, browsers, Reality Kings, Digital Playground, Fake Taxi, and more. There's also more than 13,000 full DVDs for you to pursue, including classics like Sasha Grey Is Coming on Demand. If that's not enough, Pornhub promised to add tons of new HD videos every day, so you should always have something new to watch. Other features include mobile-friendly browsing and higher quality, faster streaming on non-premium videos. If this sounds like something you might be into, but you're still on the fence actually about paying for porn, no worries. Porn is offering anyone who's interested a free 7-day trial, provided that you're of legal age and you're able to view adult material. After your free week, Pornhub will bill you $9.99 a month, but you can cancel anytime if the service isn't doing it for you.
So, yeah, it's the Netflix of porn. It's an Uber of this.
But what I didn't get, they said they got DVDs. So does that mean you can order DVDs too, or just watch it streaming?
I guess it's going to be streaming also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the folks over at Engadget, which this article is from, took it upon themselves to actually check out the service for the sake of journalism, of course.
Of course.
And found that there's around 4 to 5 pages of exclusive clips for each particular special interest, although one barely had half a page and there had more than 10. It's likely that, depending on what you're into, that $9.99 might be a total bargain or a bit of a turnoff, the site concluded.
But who does that still? Because porn is pretty much free these days, you know, the way people watch, just stream it. And do they really care? I mean, if you watch porn, do you really care what the resolution is?
Well, it's not as much as the resolution bothers me. It's more about the characters in the porn. I gotta find some attraction to the characters, because I can sit on Tumblr all night long and look at people fucking each other.
But, and that's good enough for you?
No, not necessarily, because a lot of it just does nothing for me. So
because they always cut out at the cum shot.
Well, no, they usually show the cum shot because they always pull out and shoot on the ass and then ram it back in.
Wow, that is very, very graphic. Okay. So yeah, it's Netflix for porn. You pay a premium and then you just get better videos. I guess that's pretty much the model that people are doing now for streaming services. And right now, Pornhub is the first one. Pornhub does a lot of things. They do this. They do the Netflix for porn. They do statistics. I think one of their statistics is about people. What is it? Search terms that people type in that search box. They do statistics of that, and some of them get demographics of women.
What's the demographics for bestiality?
Oh, I don't know. I don't search for it, so I don't know.
Are you sure, Maynard?
I'm quite sure.
I saw you and that little pussy the other day.
Oh, yeah. Not that kind of pussy. What I do type is, straight daddy. Sometimes I type that. And what else? Bear. I type bear. I mean, well, what do you search for? What do you type? Like, twink, what do you type?
What I search for? Battlestar Galactica.
No, you do it. Parody.
Parody.
Yeah. Wait. Do you usually have these parody of these TV shows or movies that they put not in the beginning?
At one time, my favorite porn movies were all Bellamy porn.
Oh, Bellamy. Okay.
Because I liked all the European uncut boys.
Oh.
But they all started to like blend together and look exactly alike and hairless and big dicked uncut. So after a while, it kind of got
To me, some of the bears are getting tiresome too for me on sites. But anyway, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think of this Netflix for porn and all the other articles about the hookups?
What's
and
some of the nastiest porn you've ever watched that you didn't think you would watch? Email us and let us know. We won't give any names away on the show. It'll be privately protected, but we'll read your blurbs like, I watch bestiality porn, or if a guy getting fucked by a dog, or the doggy
God,
show,
really?
Or
I don't think we
family
have
family incest porn or whatever nasty shit. So
there's a lot of that simulated ones.
Well, that's a lot of simulated incest porn, and there's
like
some real stuff.
Oh,
too.
daddy, they act, they're bad acting. But mom's
if
gonna
you
arrive
watch child
soon.
Pornography, don't email into us because that stuff gets tracked. So. Don't email us if you watch.
Don't send us videos of those things, okay?
Well, we don't send us videos, and certainly don't let us know about it because we don't want to know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let us know.
And now for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
The bizarre. Okay, so where do we start? Oh!
I'll do the gay so you can do the geek.
Okay.
You're all wound up about the geek.
I'm all about the geek. All right.
As we talked about in the first part of the show, we're talking about being safe and hooking up with tricks and stuff. And what brought that up was a Craigslist trick robs gay Houston man and steals his car. A Craigslist hookup turned violent for a gay Houston man early Sunday as his trick pulled a gun and stole his Impala and led police on a high-speed chase.
Oh,
the sexy time deed was never consummated before the 20-year-old Leroy Jeffrey allegedly pulled a handgun and demanded that the 22-year-old victim give up his phone and car. The older man fled and flagged down a nearby... he's only 22.
I know! Anyway, he's older.
But I get it. He's the older.
He's the older man.
The older man fled and flagged down a nearby Houston police officer. You mean there was one nearby? Houston police spokesman Keith Smith said the victim indicated that he and the suspect had met through Craigslist so they could get together and have sex. Smith said while they were in the victim's vehicle, the victim stated that the suspect produced a pistol and demanded his phone and the car. Fearing for his life, the victim got out of his vehicle. The victim picked up Jeffrey about 1:30 a.m. on Sunday outside apartments at 7500 Corporate Drive in Southwest Houston. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Houston near the Sam Houston Parkway as they discussed meeting a third person to join them. Jeffrey alleged brandished the gun, police said. Nothing had transpired up to that point in terms of the sex act, Smith said. When the victim jumped... So if they had sex and he stole the car and the phone, it'd have been okay, I guess. The way they keep saying that sex hadn't happened.
Yeah, sex didn't happen. So.
When the victim jumped out of his car, he kept his phone. The officer that the victim flagged down chased Jeffrey, a pursuit that lasted about 30 minutes and reached high speeds before ending in the 13,000 block of Northwest Freeway. So he went all the way up to 290.
Mm-hmm. Wow. At
Northwest Freeway. Yeah, that's 290.
Oh, 45. Yeah, it's 290.
Smith, which is under construction. Why in the hell would you get on 290 if you're on the high speed?
Dumbass.
So, see, that's what it's like being around Houston. You know the stupid shit. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey surrendered without incident when the chase ended and allegedly told officers that he used his phone to masquerade as a handgun to rob the man, Smith said. The victim likely thought it was a pistol, he said. Jeffrey was charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon and evading arrest. He also faces an outstanding warrant for aggravated assault on a peace officer. A video of the incident captured by the Houston Chronicle shows a handcuffed Jeffrey smiling inside a police vehicle and again when the officer escorts him out of the cruiser. Police said the victim was unharmed and his Impala was returned to him after Jeffrey was arrested. Smith said investigators will check to see if Jeffrey targeted any other gay men in similar Craigslist scams. This is something we should look into without a doubt, he said. If there are other victims out there, we would very much like to hear from them. Anyone with additional information, contact Crime Stoppers Houston anonymously or Houston's Police Robbery Division. And don't think cruise outs are any safer. Just ask the gay Houston man who exacted revenge on his sticky-fingered grinder trick or his jack user who was robbed at gunpoint. Or this Tinder trick who was stabbed, locked in a bathroom, and robbed. So this stuff keeps happening over and over again regardless of what app you have. So brush up on your do's and don'ts for hookup safety from the Macho Center before clicking, swiping, and messaging your way to booty.
So yeah, so the one we talked about earlier is from the Montrose Counseling Center.
So be careful when you're on the hookup apps. If any of y'all have had experiences where you've met up somebody on Grindr or Growler or any of them, Scruff, and things kind of get out of hand, you can send us an email or leave us a voicemail anonymously, and we will listen to it and play it on the show so we can discuss this further, what actually can happen.
Or you can email us also so we could kind of discuss about it. We won't tell anyone.
Or if you want to be on the show and talk about.
That's right.
So
that's good. Okay, let's go to the geek. All right. It's kind of geeky. This came out yesterday, I think, or today. Probably yesterday. I think it happened yesterday. It's really, really recent. So it's kind of worth mentioning because it kind of concerns everyone because everybody's using Google. Google is reorganizing and Sundar Pichai will become the new CEO. So Google co-founder Larry Page announced a massive restructuring of the company, instituting Sundar Pichai as CEO and shifting himself and the co-founder Sergey Brin to a larger holding company. So what's it going to be called? Alphabet. Alphabet is the new name. So Google is now Alphabet. Because Google is becoming too big, they need to. They did Alphabet, and Google has now become a subsidiary of it. So you don't say, "Are you going to Google it?" It's not going to be replaced, but are you going to Alphabet it? So no. So Alphabet is going to be, you know, it's going to be the big company handling Google cars, Google Glass, and everything. So
what was the movie, the futuristic movie where?
Minority Report.
No, not Minority Report. That what's his name? Rambo.
Oh, Demolition Man. Steven Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone was in, where they put him in cryogenic sleep for 30
years. Demolition Man. Yes, I remember that.
That was Demolition Man?
Yes, it is. Okay. I remember it well.
I've watched remember it many Demolition times. Man, Taco Bell had taken over everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So now Alphabet's going to take over everything.
Alphabet's going to take over everything.
In the future, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting because Alphabet is the new name. Alphabet is the new Google. So
also it's interesting that, you know, Google's been buying up all these smaller companies, different companies that do different things, mm-hmm. and now they're restructuring and becoming a bigger company and spinning and setting certain divisions up under that.
Yeah. So what happens is, yeah, you're right. Google is buying all these things, all these companies like Nest and what else? It's got lots of stuff they've been buying. So now they have an upper one called Alphabet, which will now take care of all those, and Google will be a standalone. And just to continue the story here, so a CEO and president of Alphabet, Page and Brin, I will oversee Google as well as affiliated companies like the Life Extension Project, Calico, and the drone delivery venture called Wing. Alphabet will also direct Google's early staging funding operations dubbed Capital Ventures. So under the new organization, each of these operations will now have its own CEO and leadership. While Pichai and Google retain control of search. Okay, so this is what Google is going to be. So you have Alphabet, and you have Google and all these other companies around. Mm-hmm. Because before it was Google up there, and then it's got these subsidiaries. So now Google is but the one below Alphabet. So what's it going to do? They're going to control the search, ads, Google Maps, the Google Play Store, and YouTube. And of course, Android. So that's what Google's going to concentrate on. And all the other ones will be handled by Alphabet now. So, I mean, it's restructuring. They're becoming too big. They need to spread.
Well, also, when you start to get so big, you lose focus on your product.
Yeah. So
this way, it pulls it back. So these people at Google are focusing on this. These people are focusing on this, and then these people are shitting down on all these to make sure all these are focused.
Yeah. So it becomes a very. It's like a lightweight. It becomes a lightweight umbrella company. I think they're gonna have their own. They're gonna have their own. What do you call this? NASDAQ number, something like that. Yeah. NASDAQ. Not only they have Goog, G-O-O-G is the one for Google, but I think they're going to have Alphabet at some point. Anyway, it's interesting that Google is now Alphabet. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
A, B, C, 1, 2, 3.
I was listening to the Daily Technic show yesterday, and they were this morning, and they were talking about that Google is now Alphabet. Why Alphabet? Because they want to do everything from A to Z.
Probably true. Okay, moving on to the bizarre. Having a ball or two at the Montana Testicle Festival.
What?
This is from Cesar, folks.
Oh, thank you, Cesar.
I first discovered the Montana Testicle Festival in 2005 by an old VHS tape I bought at a thrift store. It came in a bright red case with a simple black and white label that read, 16th Annual Testicle Festival, copyrighted, Volume 2, 1998, 16 Years of Having a Ball. Then in a smaller type, warning, contains frontal nudity and lots of balls. I wasn't quite prepared for what I saw, despite the clearly printed label. The Itty Bitty Titty Contest, Big Dick Competition, and Bull Testicle Eat-Off that soon appeared on screen were branded into my brain for years to come. not unlike a propriety tag burned into cowhide. Flash forward to 2007 when I decided to attend the 5-day festival that's been happening in Clinton, Montana since 1982. I piled 3 girlfriends into a rental car, and the 4 of us drove 7 hours from Seattle across the state of Washington and a small chunk of Idaho into western Montana for the event, which has haunted my dreams ever since picking up that VHS. That year, we watched not only the Tesco Festival's main event, the competitive bull eating of bull balls, a.k.a. Rocky Mountain oysters, but also a women's hot oil wrestling contest, a women's wet t-shirt event, and men's big ball competition, basically a wet underwear show with dudes. If I see another naked nudist wearing a cock ring, I'm going to barf, said one of my pals. We left before I had the chance to try the oysters, and my curiosity wasn't sated. There was something uniquely surreal about the festival where a bunch of bikers gathered to eat fried cattle genitals. Last weekend, I finally went back to Montana for the 33rd annual festival to properly document the strange spectacle for eating bull balls for the first time.
Oh, my God.
So if you've ever been to the Tesco Festival in Montana, let us know. Tell us what you think about it. But you know, instead of loading up a carload of girlfriends, it seems like it'd been funner if you brought some of your guy friends along. Because then you could have had bro weekend. Bros and balls.
Bros and balls.
That's like a new porn video.
Yeah, I'm sure there is one. So. Okay.
All right, we got some voicemails.
We're going to play some voicemails here. Probably I'll overdub it later. So here is Dan. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Ray and Nara. This is Dan from Connecticut. Since I started listening this year, and instead of going through every single podcast that you guys have created to get to know you, I'm going to actually be asking a series of questions to get to know you guys a little bit better. First of all, I would like to know, how did Ray meet Robbie? Where did you meet Robbie, and how did you meet him? I'll call back for other questions. Bye.
He's very organized. He likes to...
Well, first of all, Dan, thank you for the voicemails. We appreciate them. I mean, he got two, so he called in again. So we'll answer questions in a minute. But Dan, we love that you listen to the show, but you need to get out and have a life, brother.
Why?
It's not like next, you know, it's kind of like that thing they joke about. Netflix should become joined with a dating site. Uh-huh. So you can also find other people that sit there and binge watched Scandal for 48 hours or something.
Well, I don't mind him binge watching our either, shows. But
brother, get out and get a life. get away from the computer for a while. Go take a walk.
Who listens to us on the computer? Everybody's on their mobile devices right now.
But the question Dan had was, how did I meet Robin? We met on a website called Recon, and it's a BDSM site for meeting other like-minded individuals. So that's where we met a little over 2.5 years ago. So
okay. So next voicemail. Same guy. Okay. Here we go.
Hi, Ray. This is Dan from Connecticut. On one of the previous podcasts, you alluded to something that happened in February, and you kind of left us dangling there. I have no idea what happened, but it sounded kind of interesting, like something was going on there in February. Also, you mentioned something about porn, or were you a producer for porn, or did you appear in porn or something like that? I'm a little confused about what you said there, but you did mention it on one of your previous podcasts, and I was kind of interested in the effort to get to know you. I wanted to see what that was all about. So I would like to know the reader personalities a little bit better. So if you could explain that on the next podcast, that would be great. Talk to you guys again soon. All right.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan. What happened in February? Well, let's narrow it down first. We've just celebrated our 10 anniversaries. So that's 10 Februarys with 4 episodes each every February. So when you ask stuff like that, send in an episode number so we can go back and listen to it. But probably what would happen is we had something planned, had something lined up that we thought was going to be pretty big, which happens a lot, unfortunately, and then it just falls through and never happens. Like an interview with somebody, or somebody calls and says, hey, I think I can get you to talk to Bruce Willis or something, and then it never happens. But, you know, so, and then sometimes we plan on stuff, on some stuff we want to do, and then other stuff come up and it just doesn't happen. So I don't know. Let me know which episode you're talking about, and I'll go back and look at it and listen to it and see what I was talking about, because sometimes I might have just been talking bullshit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right. The next question was I in porn? I was not in porn. There are some X2 video floating around out there.
Somewhere there.
Somewhere out there you might be able to find.
Is it still there?
I think I took most of them down because the person they were with asked me to remove them.
Oh, okay.
And they're stuck on my Apple, my Mac, which is dead. Then I had another Mac to move the data over to. So I still have them somewhere. I just can't access them. So.
Okay.
Did I work in porn? I did have a porn company with another friend of mine, and I did film porn for a while and edit it. So
lots of it. HD.
HD.
High tech.
And I enjoyed doing that. And if anybody out there is a developer and would like to develop a website for a porn site, let me know. So, because that's our biggest problem. We can never find anybody that could develop a website that could handle the charging videos. And the videos weren't that hard. They were easy. It's to get in the shit to make charge for it so people can pay for it, which was the hard. Because you got to make money off of it because you got money going out the door. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was the hard part. So we shut the company down about 4 years ago. And
has it been 4 years?
It's been 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Maybe a little bit longer, but we shut it down just because we couldn't get the website to work.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or find any other models, and then my computer got fried, so.
And you were still in the old house, weren't you?
I was still in the apartment, yeah, back then. Yeah. It's when AT&T Lightning hit the phone lines and came to the AT&T universe and fried my TV, the computer.
Only can people see what's inside those hard drives.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So,
And I'll talk about something that we're going to try to do is we'll talk about these at the end of some shows and hopefully get some more interest in. Do you have a sex-themed tattoo that you regret? This article came across Queer Click today, and it was all these tattoos of penises and stuff. Different things that people had tattooed on their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any tattoos like that that you regret? If you do, email us a picture of the tattoo. We don't need to see your whole body or anything unless you're okay with showing that, because it will be put on the show. And telling us what made you get it and why you got it and do you regret it or not regret it or whatever. So, but some of these pictures are quite interesting. So I was wanting to see if there are listeners out there. And we'll probably pick this back up in a couple weeks so it gives people time to send in some pics. Or if nobody sends in some pics, we won't talk about it anymore after just trying to get some interest going. So, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what kind of response we get from you, our listeners.
Yes, that's right. And it just shows a picture and everything.
And if you've had your penis tattooed, we'd like to talk to you on the show because I don't know how painful that is.
Yes, it's got to be. You know, mine, I have a tattoo on my penis. It says, "Hi, my name is Nard. Welcome to Houston. Have a nice day." What? Well, it's just regular fonts. What can I say? It's not. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that'd be good. If you guys have tattoos, it must be an interesting article. I haven't read it yet, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's interesting, and we can look at the pictures after we get done recording the show. But let us know if you have those tattoos, or even if it's a tattoo you got, and you're like, "Why in the fuck did I get this damn tattoo?"
Yeah.
We had a mutual friend that had a Tommy Hilfiger tattooed on his ass, the logo for Tommy Hilfiger years ago. And we were like, "Why?" He's like, "Oh, Tommy Hilfiger's the greatest, blah, blah, blah."
Greatest what? T-shirt?
What designer or whatever. Designer? And then a couple years ago, I think he had something else put over it to hide the Tommy Hilfiger tattoo.
Oh.
So.
Or if you have like a no regrets.
Yeah.
On your arm. Or if you
had a Roseanne tattooed on your chest.
That's Tom Arnold.
Yes.
Did he have it erased?
He's had it covered over. He's had it changed to cover over it, but that's a lot of ugly on that chest to cover.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening and supporting the show. And like I said, it's been 10 years. And last week's episode was pretty good because we showcased the top 10 episodes of the past 10 years, and we got lots of responses about that too. Also, like I said earlier in the beginning of the show, we talked about Bear City 3. So go to BearCity3.com to support the guys like Doug Langway, who's the director and writer of Bear City, the Bear City series, and they're doing the last of three their trilogy. Of Bear City. So yeah, watch out for it. Go to BearCity3.com so you could donate. You can help them out. Okay, so I guess that's it, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voice message like Dan did at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Leave us a voice message, and like Dan, you can be played on the show.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm trying to look for an episode back in February. I don't see it's going
to
be. We'll have to research.
Dan, you'll have to let us know.
Yeah, let us know which episode. You have to say on episode 400 something, or you have to say something like that. So we could go back.
Because we're podcasters, so once we're done with the show, we usually forget about it and move on to the next one.
After recording this, we don't know. By tomorrow, we don't know what we said. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube, and you can also listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and the Stitcher Radio on your iOS and Android apps. You can do that, and you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening, and we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof! What a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.